In Luke, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Jesus also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothing and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping their watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be unto you a sign: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothing, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb."
Thank you, Michael. Amen. Thank you. Y'all may have a seat. Yeah, you can clap for that. He got absolutely no preparation. He just stepped up. Thank you, Michael. Just a reminder, we have a 6 o'clock Christmas Eve service. It'll be the rest of the story from what you get here today. I'm encouraging you to all show up and come to that service. The worship you heard today, you might get some more of that. But you'll get the rest of the story, which we desperately need. I'm just going to go back a little bit and let you know what we've covered over the last month. Don't be afraid. We learned about Melchizedek and his interaction with Abraham, and we saw Melchizedek as the pre-incarnate Christ. He was greater than Father Abraham. Remember that? All right. We walked and we talked about Zechariah and his interaction with the angel in the temple. "You will have a son." He became mute because of his unbelief. Do you remember that? Then the Holy Spirit told him that his son's name would be John. We talked about Elizabeth, that's Mary's cousin, and how she was to have a child in her old age, and that the child would be the one to prepare the way of the Lord. His name would be John. You guys remember that? All right. We talked about Mary, who was betrothed to Joseph, and how she had a visitation from the angel who told her that she was going to conceive and conceive by the Holy Spirit, and to have a child who was to be the Christ. You guys remember that? Okay. We talked about Joseph, who was to marry Mary. You get that? Who was to marry Mary. What a merry time. And how he had a dream where the angel revealed to him the child and Mary was one of the Holy Spirit. And this was before he and Mary could consummate the marriage. In other words, it was totally the Holy Spirit. And he had to go through a process. Do you guys remember talking about any of this? Okay, let me ask it differently. Do you guys remember listening about any of this? All right. Thank you, Jesus. We talked about John, filled with the Holy Spirit while in utero. Do you remember when Elizabeth and Mary came together and talked, and the baby inside of Elizabeth leaped at Mary's voice? Do you remember that? Amen. And the Bible says that in vitro, the baby was filled with the Holy Spirit. That baby was John. Do you guys remember that? Yeah. Wow, I thought that was so cool. The Christmas Eve service. It will be 1 hour, and we will be done. I'm wishing that people would say, "Aw, just an hour? Yeah, three of you want to stick around. Get a life, for goodness sakes." No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. Wow. It's important to review what we've been through because it helps to lay the foundation of what's to come. Cradle to the cross. I'm going to tell you how this came about. I went to our grandkids' production at Trinity Lutheran School. And the message they gave was one of what's happening over the Christmas season, but it kept going to the cross, and they were talking about Easter back and forth. And I said, "Oh, that's a great topic. I love that title." And then I see the work that Debbie Arcan and Jane Seiler and Kevin Mack did with that simple, beautiful scene in the foyer as you walk in. Did you see it? Isn't that beautiful? And you get this visual picture of the cradle or the crib with Jesus in it to the cross, which speaks of the whole story. And I thought, wow, that's what I'm supposed to talk about. And I was so excited about it, and I thought I'll do just a little research, and I went online, and it was, oh my goodness, everybody's preaching from the cradle to the cross to the crown. I mean, there are hundreds of that title all over the internet. So I thought, okay, I know what you're saying to me, God. Don't even look at them. Give them what I'm giving you to give. So that's what we're going to try and do today. Amen. I love going back to what the prophets have said. I love when I see the fulfillment of what they spoke because it lifts and it encourages my faith. When I hear words like we had people speaking prophetically at the beginning of the service, there were three words given. That does something to our faith when we hear God speak to us by His Spirit and somebody speaks it out. It's a gifting that God gives some people. In this church, He gives to many people. In fact, He gives gifts to those who ask for His gifts. One gift that He's giving us, I don't know how it was asked for. The Jews have asked for it forever, but is His Son, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all. He gave it to us, and He told us He was going to give it to us. All right, now we're all tracking on the same place. Micah 5:2 says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrath," can't say that name, Ephrathath, "though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting." Okay, so 700 years before Jesus came, this particular prophet said that He was going to come. He begins to lay the foundation. Actually, the foundation was laid back in Genesis. When the fall occurred, all right, when the fall occurred, there was going to be a need for a Savior. The process began then. But here a prophet is speaking about 1,000 years before. Jesus humbled, His humbled birth fulfilled the scriptures. We'll see how that goes. In Matthew 2:6, Matthew responds back to what that prophet says. He says, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Who is he coming for first? The Jew. Who else is he coming for? Those who would receive them, the Gentiles. I'm a Gentile. I received him. Spiritually, in his eyes, I'm Israel. Amen. Isn't that weird how that works? All right, we all want to be Jews, giddy up. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. All right, there's something at play here. And there's a spirit at war against this very occurrence of Christ coming into the land. So decrees are issued that weren't typically issued. Movements by governments were happening in that time because evil kings wanted to do away with this prophecy. They did not want it to be fulfilled. We can fight God all we want, and his purposes will be accomplished. Do you know that? It doesn't matter what we do to thwart God. And we, by the way, should not be the church thwarting God, but people want to thwart his plans all the time. And they will be fulfilled. And they will be fulfilled in his timing. We cannot manipulate the time. We can hope and we can pray that he come back quickly. And that's a prayer that I have. Oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I know the tenor of the day, we need you. Don't talk on the phone out loud in the church. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. Why did he come? To be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be deliver. All right, that's what we got from the reading from Michael just a little while ago. He's telling the story of how this is unfolding and how this is coming about. Thank you, Jesus. The prophet Isaiah said this about this coming. He said in Isaiah 7:14, he says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin," that's Mary, "shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. So the angel is now speaking to Mary about the prophetic things that are going to come to reality, and she will be a participant in it. Zechariah was to be a participant in it. Isaiah was a participant prior to it to speak of it. Micah was a prophet anointed to speak of it in its appearing, its coming. And there's more. Luke 2:7. Says, "And she brought forth her first son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there's no room for them in the inn." You are all familiar with that scene. That's the scene we have in the foyer. A simple scene. And it's simple and it's beautiful, but to be really honest with you, today in this day, we really polish that scene up nice, don't we? It's artwork. It's creative. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It was a stinking pigsty in the reality of it. Sheep dip all over the place. This is where he was born, in the most humble of circumstances. And we glorify it because I think it helps us. But no, this was the worst place that he could be in the area other than outdoors. All right, so just have that in mind. We do some things sometimes, and I say we, I mean good-meaning worldly people do some things to try and put a shine on some of the realities of this world, and sometimes a shine isn't meant to be put on it. We're not supposed to polish the manger. We don't want, we used to have a beautiful oak cross right here. It was as big as the whole wall. It was bold. It was beautiful. It had a shine on it. It was polished, and it had nothing in appearance like the true cross. It was used time and time again for people's crucifixions back in the day. No, the cross was ugly. It was horrible. It was a thing of brutality. And sometimes when we read scripture, we got to go back to some of those realities and lose the Christmas card pictures that we've seen and had implanted into our minds and see if we can come to the reality of what God is really saying. And the reality is, read his word. That will tell you what's going on in reality of that day. Another prophet, Isaiah, says in 9:6, he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." What a powerful statement and description of who Jesus is. By the prophet Isaiah, some 700 to 900 years before the event took place, before Jesus walked on the earth as a human being. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Isaiah. He can't hear me right now, but thank him for speaking and operating in the prophetic when God had given him a gift to speak. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping the watch over their flocks by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, like if an angel of the Lord just came in here right now, that'd be so amazing, wouldn't it? Are you kidding me? We would all freak out. The awesomeness of this angel is really in many ways beyond our description, other than what the scriptures tell us. But an angel is no little light thing. An angel is like amazing. And they're not feminine. Not to get the women worked up in here, but they were masculine. They were bold and strong. They were warriors. And they were obedient unto the Father. Two-thirds of all that were created were obedient unto the Father. One-third we wrestle with every day on this earth. They've been cast out. Some cast down already. More casting to come. An angel is a big deal. And we don't hear as much as we think we hear in Scripture about them. They show up. They show up from time to time. We know in Daniel they showed up big. They showed up really big. Two of them showed up, actually. Michael showed up to fight against the Prince of Persia, which is another demonic force, so that Gabriel, the messenger angel, could get a word to Daniel. And the word to Daniel was to be about what we're talking about today. All right? It's so amazing what's going on in the spirit realm. But we have to know that it's no little thing. Jesus Christ is no little thing. We see, we let the artwork of this day describe to us what it must have been like, but it's not that. The only way to get any kind of handle on what was is by God's word. And if we're illiterate concerning his word, we miss it. And we go on thinking of rainbows and lollipops, and that's not the way things are. Amen. We have to understand what Scripture says about whatever. Say, I don't even know why I'm ramping on it, but it felt good. So this angel of the Lord is probably Gabriel that is speaking to Mary, that is speaking to the spirit of Zechariah, because he was a messenger and angel. Thank you, Jesus. When the angels appear to the shepherds in the field, the glory of the Lord shone around them. The event is marked by the shining or the Shekinah glory of the Lord, indicating that the weight and the serious, indicating of the weight and the seriousness of this message. The Shekinah glory is similar, but maybe even grander, but it is similar to those who have been in the presence of God. All right, it's a big deal. Moses came down from the mountain with the law after spending time with God, who shows up in a bush, manifests himself in a burning bush, because that's all Moses could handle. And he gives him the Ten Commandments, and he comes down, and Moses had to cover his face because of the Shekinah glory, because he was in the presence of God. The presence of God is so awesome that we take it lightly in the church. I remember the song, "Show us your glory." It sounds great, doesn't it? I'm telling you right now, if we saw the glory of God, we'd be on our faces weeping. There's a reality that we don't get. We're singing to the Christmas card version of the glory of God with a little halo around. We're missing the grandeur of the Almighty. Those who have been in his presence, Gabriel, Michael, these archangels, when they come to this earth, they are flat out awesome because they've been in the presence of an awesome, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. That's the Shekinah glory of God onto them because they've been in his presence. You can sense a believer who's been in the presence of God. You just see something. But we don't see it in the fullness like we think we do. We see it many times removed because it has to filter through our humanity. But I can see people that have spent time with God. I can sense it, I can feel it, and there's something there. Okay, that's for free. It has nothing to do with this message. All right. In Isaiah 61:1, it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord," you guys know this scripture, "the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news, good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and an opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes." Isaiah is a prophet who heard and hears from God. And many of the things that took place in the life of Christ were spoken by Isaiah, 700, 900, 1,000 years, whatever it is, before Christ came. And he is speaking about the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon him to do what? To give the message that he's given us that we do find on Christmas cards today during this time of the year. And it's respoken and it's fulfilled in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 22, when Jesus quotes it. And when Jesus says it, he says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news, to set the captives free, to set at liberty those who are in bondage, to do these amazing things." He is quoting Isaiah because the prophet was speaking of one to come, and he's speaking of the Christ. You know, there's no shocks or surprises in God's plan. It's been worked out from the beginning. We get excited because we think about this for, that was 700 years ago, or that was 1,000 years ago, or that was 7,000 years ago. And so I get excited when I see that. No, this plan was written before the foundations of the earth. And before the foundations of the earth, God knew you. And he knew me. Well, how can that be? Because God does not exist in this paradigm of time. Time is for our benefit. He is an eternal God operating in eternity. We are going to be flat out floored when we get to heaven in such a beautiful way. So this is what eternity looks like. Oh, I already said that. Time helped me to say that. I said that before. I must have. We can't even comprehend it. But it's awesome. 2:9b says, "And the glory of the Lord shone around him, and they were greatly afraid." Why? Because that's what the glory of the Lord does. It points to us how far we miss the mark. When the glory of the Lord is present, we are on our faces. We try to manufacture it. We try to control it. We try to make it happen. We want it so bad. But when the true glory of the Lord shows up, we are on our faces. Because we can't even look at it. Because the glory of the Lord reveals to us our shortcomings. The glory of the Lord reveals to us our sin. The glory of the Lord reveals to us how we have missed the mark. The glory of the Lord reveals to us that we need a Savior. That's what the glory of the Lord does for us. But I want to do this and get in prayer lines, and I want to be slain in the Spirit because that just feels good. And I want to lay down there and know that I've been in the presence of God. God does things. He does that thing. But it is nowhere near the fullness of what's coming with God. It's a taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good kind of a thing. Because for those who know him, you will see and see who the Lord is. This Christmas is a big deal. I don't care if it was put on some pagan holiday or not. Christmas trumps it. There's somewhere there's a pun in there. I don't know about that, but it is a big deal. And this whole story is a big deal because it's been foretold from the beginning. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid, indicating the presence. And they understood the Shekinah glory, signifying the importance and the significance of the announcement of Jesus' birth. And in verse 10, it says, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Why is he telling them that? Because they were afraid. He says, do not be afraid. I'm not going to hurt you. Bring your good tidings of great joy. He says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. He's bringing it in loads bigger than we can know. He's bringing it. Are we receiving it? Are you receiving what he's bringing to you? I'll tell you what things stop us from receiving it. Lack of faith. Lack of faith is big. We lack faith, and we don't see the things that God is doing in our lives. Lack of faith. Sin. Remember the Shekinah glory? We can't gaze upon God because it reveals to us who we truly are. Sin separates us from God. Christ came to take care of that. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So the angel has to tell him not to be afraid. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to smite you. I'm not going to wipe you out. I'm going to communicate to you. What's he going to communicate? Good tidings of great joy. Speak to the significance of Jesus' birth. God's plan to redeem humanity. He brings salvation to all who will receive this awesome gift. There is a receiving on our part of this whole equation. To come to Christ, you have to receive him. If you have ears to hear, do you respond to what you hear? That reveals your heart. We say this all the time. If you have a heart by which to receive, we receive him. When we receive him, something changes within us. What changed in you when you asked Christ in? For me, it was baby steps. God, forgive me for baby steps. But God, thank you that I took some steps. But it was baby steps. Then it's bigger steps. Then I had a pastor who put me in positions that made me afraid. And then God showed up even more and more. Then I have elders who put me in predicaments all the time. And God strengthens me and grows me more and more. You know what I'm saying? 15 people that want to be elders and tell me what's what. God begins to grow me because I let him in. He doesn't give me more than I can handle because it would wipe me out. He gives me what I can handle. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me anything of you that is good. And then in verse 11 it says, for it is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. A Savior. Savior from what? A Savior from who? A Savior from sin. And we struggle sometimes to get the full measure. This is me now. I struggle getting a full understanding of what that means. But a Savior would come and take my sin from me. This is a big deal. Why? Because there's nothing I can do with my sin. Nothing in my own strength. But he came to take it from me. He came to pay the price for it. For me, what was the price? The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He came to give me eternal life. Amen. By taking away my sin and paying for it himself. Why do we say from the cradle to the cross? Because of this very line of thinking right here. We can't do it on our own. None of us can be good enough on our own. None of us. But here's what we do. I may not be perfect, but I'm better than that guy over there. Oh, I got a lot more going on than that person over there. That's what we do. And we measure ourselves against ourselves. So what we're doing is we are sinners measuring up against other sinners. And because we have a little bit of hedging going on, I'm a little bit ahead of that guy, I'm in good shape. No, what that means is there's two people going to hell without God. That's what it means. So I'm starting to see this gift is kind of a bigger deal than I thought. The gift is a huge deal. It's the only gift that truly matters in eternal thinking is the gift of God who brings life. I am so grateful for my Jesus, for my Jesus. Thank you. How does he do this? Christmas cannot fully be understood apart from the wages of sin that mankind carries. Our meditations on the cradle or the manger are so beautiful and so precious. But you don't have to talk long about the cradle before you start ebbing towards the cross. Why do you ebb towards the cross? Because he came for a reason. He came as our Savior, our beloved Savior, who would save us from our sin. So we see this precious Jesus. And if I had gifts to give him, I'd give him frankincense and myrrh. I'd probably hang on to the gold because I'm a sinner. We give good gifts to Satan. I'm sorry. That was Satan speaking through me right there. Just ignore that. We give good gifts to God, but he gives the great gift to us. Right? Because we know. We know as believers that there's no other way. We say this as the pivotal point for everybody to understand. There is no other way. Jesus is the only way. That was given in this word this morning. There's no other way. But there's also this loving, kind Savior who desires a relationship with us. Are you kidding me? So bright I can't look at him, yet he loves me and wants to be with me? He loves you and wants to be with you? Turn the phone off, please. That's what Jesus is about. So he comes. So the gift is a dual purpose gift. It's one of salvation, but it's one of relationship. And then you can't be talking about this. We fall in love with Jesus. We love him. People blaspheme him. People say things about him, and it even hurts us to hear these things. But then the idea that he had to go to the cross gets beyond us. And we can't handle that idea. It's too grand for us. Jesus, just pray right now, Holy Spirit, speak. So what was it like? What was it that Jesus had to actually do for us? Well, we know in Psalm 22, he tells us what he was going through. And he uses King David as an example for it. As King David starts to spew out the things that he's agonizing through, Jesus begins to recount them and said that was prophetic for what he was going to do. And I'm just going to give you excerpts of it, not the whole thing. When God says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? This is Jesus on the cross speaking to his Father. It is also something that was happening in David's day with what David was struggling with. But you are he who took me out of the womb. Every pronoun there is capitalized. Why? Because it's God. Because Christ is God. That's what that's about. You made me trust while I was on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me. This is Jesus speaking on the cross, but this is also King David when he was going through his trials. For trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. And bulls of Bashan is just it's a biblical phrase referring to powerful and aggressive enemies coming against them. Some of you know what that's like. Not at this level, but you know it at your own level of enemies coming against you because you've made a stand for Christ. Some know it really well. People in Israel know it a whole lot more because it's their life. Jesus knew it the best because the world came at him and very few cared about him. People didn't really start to care about him for who he was until afterwards, after his life had been taken from him, except maybe 12, a mother, some women that were faithful, so a handful of people. But you know, man, it's really horrible to be him. He's going through a lot because they didn't have a deep relationship with him. And he goes on to say, they gape at me with their mouths like raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. Do you remember these words coming from Jesus on the cross? And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. This was spoken 700 years before Jesus went to the cross. The detail of the prophecy is incredible. I'm so excited to celebrate Christmas, but I can't not think about Christmas and not think about the cross. Because we got excited for, here, I said this last week, what we get excited about for Christmas. When Christmas, the season, the holiday is over, there is a depression that hits. Like a tsunami for some people. It just comes in big and you're down. Because it was about a festival or a holiday or a celebration, but we miss the mark of who we are celebrating, who we were worshiping in that day. But then God, in his way, takes us to Easter. And he begins to help us recalibrate what it's all about. And it's all about the reality of who he is. Who he was, who he is, and what he has done for us. And we see the gravity of what he's done for us. And those who have ears to hear, listen. Those who have a heart to receive, receive, and they change. That phrase, we'll use it a lot because it's so powerful. But having him invited in is everything. Do you know him? Do you know him? Think about it. Do you know him at this level where there is no other way? Your wits, your intelligence, your beauty, your aggressiveness, your passion cannot get it done for you. We need him desperately. And he loves you and me so deeply that he puts it all on the line for us. That's my God. That's my Jesus. And that's your Jesus too. Psalm 22, 21. My God, why have you forsaken me? You remember him saying those words on the cross? David is saying them in Psalm 22, 21. My God, I cry in the daytime, but you are not here. And in the night season, I am not silent, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted you. This gift of God that comes to people that changes a heart like that is open to everybody in this room. It is open to the miserable people you can't stand in your own life. I'm serious. It's open to them. It's open to siblings who have belittled you for faith. It's open to them. It's open to your boss. But it's open to us to receive the fullness of who Christ is. What holds us back? I know what held me back. World stuff. What holds us back? And not just what holds, when I say what holds us back, it's not about believing in him at whatever level you go to. It's about jumping in. What holds me back from jumping in with both feet, with all that I am for him, because he was so much more than all that I am for me? That little baby is asking Christ to come in right now. I can just feel it. Thank you, Jesus. Christ's birth is a heavenly event. The scriptures say that Jesus' birth is not merely a human or an earthly event, but also a heavenly event. This is so cool. I think of us getting excited about the things of God when we do, when we have an encounter with him, we're excited. But everything that he did in this Christmas story was cause for celebration in heaven. That's a big deal. Look at it. He's just so excited.
I want to just hang with you.
The heavens declare the glory of God. We've heard that, but those who dwell in heaven declare the glory of God. So powerful. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Heaven is rejoicing. What are they rejoicing about? I'll tell you what I think they're rejoicing about, and then you can look up a scripture and find it out for yourself. But I think the angels were blown away. They were floored up in heaven with excitement because they saw the one who they saw face to face as an angel. They would have seen God often, and now they see him come into this shack, this cave, this dirt hole, this manger filled with dung, and they see him come into this baby, much like that precious little thing who's talking to me right now. They see it, and they are curious, and they are in awe of it. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people, not to them, to his people on earth. What a celebration it was, because they have been serving us. The Bible alludes that we have angels that, I don't even know if it's in the Bible. I think I read it on the back of a Cracker Box thing or something, but we have our angels that minister to us, right? Yeah, we have that. They love us if they're with God. They serve us. How do you like that? They serve us. Colossians 1:19 says this. Worship team, you can come on up. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. All things, things on earth or things in heaven. He reconciled all things. So it's the other reason why the angels were so excited and sing glory to God in the highest, because there was reconciling going on in the heavens. What did it look like? I don't know. I have no clue. I just want to be there. I want to be a part of it. It's so incredible what God has done. He's so thorough beyond our understanding. There's more things happening beyond what we know. Not everything is given to us, but what we need is given to us. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. And then there's peace and reconciliation for the believer. The proclamation of peace is central to the Christian gospel. Jesus' birth is a declaration that peace with God and with one another is now possible. We just can't have real peace apart from God. There's always something going on that is God-less affecting us. We don't know true peace until we allow the Prince of Peace to come in. And then it's dwelling in a bag of flesh, so it's still limited at some level. But what does God know? He knows what there is for his children as we move forward in him. Since I came to Christ, I have a different level of peace. And many, just raise your hand if you've experienced that yourself. Since you've come to Christ, there is peace in you. Okay, that's really a fair assessment. That's about half the room. What does that mean? That means when you came to him, God did something in your spirit that says, don't worry, I've got this covered. Are there hard things? Yeah, there's hard things, but I got it covered. Are you in me? Yes, you are. I know that already. But he's got it covered. And he gives you peace when you have it covered. What about grieving? We grieve differently than those without hope. We said that the other day. Why do we grieve differently? Why do we have peace? Because he dwells in us. But there is a fuller sense of that when we are with him in heaven. As you grow in Christ, your peace grows within you. So it's not just saying a prayer and being done with it. It is saying a prayer because you're jumping into the fullness of it. We don't get what... Michael, I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but you dance around here. You're a crazy man.
Amen.
He's a crazy man for Christ, and he is just in it, and he's spitting up here, and he is full of passion because there's something real going on the inside. I want some of that. Just kind of rub my shoulder
a
little bit.
That.
That's good.
Yeah.
You got some. But it's about having more of Christ in you. And that is a decision. That's not God holding back on you. That is God anxiously wanting to break through the door of your heart. And you say, God, I want more of you. Come in. Christmas was great. I got the cards. They're beautiful. The scene in the back, it's beautiful. But do you want more of him? Not just for these 3-4 days that we have. Not just for the Easter season. Do you want more of him daily in your life? To be really honest with you, when most of us come in contact with somebody that has more of him, we kind of shy away. You ever know it? Oh, church lady, let's get out of here. Church guy, oh, I can't take it. Oh, Michael, oh, that's too much. No, he's saying jump right into the middle of it. You want a Christmas gift? Talk about gifts, Christmas. Keep with that little motif that's going on. Jump in with both feet. Jump in. You won't be mad at your sibling. You won't be mad at your friends who got you cheap junk for Christmas. You'll be excited because you have more of Christ. Amen? I got a whole bunch more to say, but I got to say something on Wednesday. Tuesday. Oh, man, if I miss that. How many are coming to the Christmas service? Come. If your hand's not up, just show up. Bring your family. Bring the ones you don't like first. We say that. Bring them. They'll think you really changed. Bring those you do love. And we'll give you the whys to all this came about. The whys from each character. We'll give you those. In Jesus' name. Is there anybody here who wants to receive Jesus right now? Yes, I see that hand in the back. Is there somebody else? Just raise your hand just so I can. Yes. Somebody else. You never received Jesus. You want him now. You want some of that peace. You want some of that reality of Christ in you. Can we pray together? Dear Jesus, we know our need. For some, it's to have you. For most in here, it's to have more of you. Give us more of you. Change us. Be Lord to us. Be Lord to me. Thank you for saving me. Help me to follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen.